Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, is now available. And now, The Orphans Facility, an exciting new prequel series. Catch up with Season 1 with new episodes of Facility coming bi-weekly.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
I'm Brandon.
And we're back. We were gone a week because I left for Hungary and Switzerland. And we'll talk about that sooner or later, but it's really great to see all of you. It's been a while at this point. What's everybody up to while I've been gone?
It's been 2 weeks since you left us here.
Keep going.
I don't have the rest.
I'm intrigued, Doug.
Tell me the rest of the story.
I saw a Chalet Swiss. That's a lyric from 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies. I like the Chalet Swiss. Swiss. I like the sushi because I never touched
a
frying pan.
What's a Chalet Swiss?
I think it's an inverse of Swiss Chalet, which I believe is a chain of restaurants in Canada, but I saw one in the Zurich airport. Or something called Swiss Chalet in the Zurich airport.
It was a shoe store.
I feel like maybe you didn't see one if you're not even sure what one is.
It's a restaurant. I know that.
Okay. But you might not have seen one.
I mean, I don't know if it's the same thing. Is it the same entity? Anyway, hey, what have you guys been up to?
I had some Swiss cheese. Does that count for anything?
Not really.
Also a lyric in something?
Probably. It would stand to reason. What's the full lyric for?
I have no idea. I'm just asking questions. I'm not making any accusations over here.
Okay.
Cap's the one asking the questions. And you're just answering
I'm asking
questions.
The questions here. Where were you the night of the fourth?
Well, let's kick it off with a bang. I guess we'll, since no one's forthcoming with things, let me share a little something with everybody. Doug, why don't you reach under your seat?
Under my seat?
Yeah.
I knew there were surprises
under
in here.
Under the seat.
There's always some under the shit seat. Surprise in here.
There's a lever for the seat.
No.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. All right.
What is this goo?
It's gum and it's already been chewed. Great. Sweet. So this is a bar. Looks like a candy bar. It's green. It has yellow letters on it. It just says sport. And I don't, so it's a sport bar.
What? There's nothing under my chair? Is there something under my chair?
No, actually, I didn't have time to tape all
the
chairs.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry. I just taped Doug's chairs. But I threw candy bars at Brandon and Boar. Yeah, this is a candy from Hungary. It's just called Sport. I saw it everywhere. I never tried it.
Okay, can you have to elaborate? Is it sport, like, is about it, sports? Or is it, like, calling someone, like, hey, sport?
Hey, there's chocolate involved. I'm down.
So it's definitely not an energy bar.
Is it chocolate? I honestly don't know what it is.
I thought we were done eating things on Nerdy Show.
This is like the Snickers of Hungary.
I mean, I just
they're
like
so that, hungry I, over there.
It's got the pattern on the bottom, like a Snickers.
I've already got a good description of this.
All right, what is it?
This is alcoholic. Okay,
so the outside, it's just sort of a dark chocolate, but on the inside, it tastes like somebody took the innards of a Three Musketeers bar and infused it with a cherry cordial.
Yeah, or coffee liquor. This is like there's rum or something in this.
No, it's very much a cherry cordial flavor, mm-hmm. infused into like a chocolatey nougat.
I thought you were going to go full on, like, quinoa, but well, instead you actually accurately described it.
Well, this is very strange because the alcoholic quality of it really, it brings out a certain kind of felt tip marker sort of taste.
Mm. That's what alcohol tastes like.
Yeah, I don't like it. I started drinking recently. I don't think we mentioned
Come
that
on
the show.
Old sport.
You started drinking recently?
Yeah.
After 30 some odd years.
Uh-huh. Not as like that? A regular thing. I don't like it. I don't care for it.
I hear you've been drinking all the time now. Now that you've tasted the sweet ambrosia, you've been like, you travel the world. You just traveled and like got wasted, I heard the other day. Like, in a foreign country?
Yeah, people come to Epcot to do drinking around the world. Kept it for real.
I heard you were doing shots. I heard you did shots. Don't lie to me about that.
I have a surprisingly high alcohol tolerance for someone who's never touched it.
Your liver is somehow like massive. Just like half the size of your body for whatever reason.
No, I mean, yeah, I had a couple boozy nights. I was out of the country for a wedding. So there was, you know, revelry, and I participated in it in all fashions, as fashions I normally would. I've never needed alcohol to kickstart a party, but now
I do.
I don't. I definitely don't require it.
I need to kickstart my morning.
But now I'm trying things out, and for the most part, I don't like it. Brandon, you gave me some raspberry lambic, which I really enjoyed.
Great, Frambois.
I like mead. But most everything is garbage. I don't know why people drink this stuff.
Do you wake up now and find, oh, let me make my decaf tea, shot of whiskey, and then you just down it and get to work?
It sounds like, I love tea. Why would I want to do that? Like, that's like, I had a hot toddy. I had a mojito, and I've had virgin mojitos before, which are delightful. And then I had a real one. I'm like, why the fuck would anyone ruin this perfectly good drink with this booze? It's awful.
To get wasted.
See, what I would do probably...
That's the real answer.
To get wasted. To get crunked, yo.
To make a drink for you, Cap, what I would probably do is find your favorite sugary drink and then just add some vodka to it. Because that's usually my go-to.
Nothing brings you closer to diabetes more than alcohol and sugar.
That's how Tony got me drunk at NC Comic Con.
Yeah?
He just had... It was rum. He just got rum and he put it in like vanilla Coke Zero. And I'm like, oh, sweet. This is great.
Are you sure he didn't drop a tablet into your drink? And that's how he got you.
Maybe he did. I don't remember what happened after that. So maybe that's.
Did you do a keg stand yet? Everyone's got to do a keg stand. And then you wear a shirt that says keg stand upside down. So when you do the keg stand, it's right side down.
I mean, really? Aside from assorted whites and reds, those are the most normal things I've had to drink. Everything else has been highly unusual.
Or champagne.
Like,
that gross unicum you brought back. Yeah. It tastes like Fernet, if anyone knows what Fernet is.
What the fuck is Fernet?
It's like this herbal alcohol. It tastes like kind of minty, kind of herbally, and it's 100% disgusting.
I brought back one of the drink of Budapest unicum, which is, of course,
fed to Milky Boys. Whatever the fuck they're called.
Which is, of course, unicorn semen.
Yeah, obviously.
And it's
the opposite of unicorn blood. It ages you, like in the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, you don't want unicorn you don't want semen. It. You just melt.
Unicum was created for a king of Hungary in the 1700s as some kind of, restorative cure of some kind.
It was like, like most things, medicinal. Kinda.
Yeah, medicinal liquor,
fermented, yeah.
And now it's something you can get readily. I don't know if anyone
enjoys
it.
Now it makes you blind, so it did the opposite of what was intended.
But everyone was like, alcohol. Hey, watch out for Unicum, it tastes terrible. And I had it, and like, nah, it's all right, actually.
It's like a cross between like toothpaste and Jaeger.
We gotta have you try Thunderbird.
Disgusting.
Yeah. What the fuck is Thunderbird?
Thunderbird is widely considered to be like the worst tasting alcoholic malt liquor.
Have you ever had Four Locos? Is it worse?
Four Loco, at least you could say they have energy drinks in it, so that's why it tastes so fucked up.
And why people went to the hospital.
Thunderbird
all the time.
Is like paint thinner. Even winos don't drink Thunderbird. Like it's the worst of the worst.
Well, now I want to try Thunderbird. Can we have an episode where we try? Where do we get it? Is it legal?
I don't know if it's legal.
I'm gonna go online.
You should like any ABC liquor store, I guess. Like any, just the shittiest liquor store is
where
you
ABC's
gotta go.
ABC's pretty damn classy around here.
That's true. So maybe you gotta find a really
shitty
liquor store.
Thanks, Mr. Holloway.
What?
There's a great commercial for Thunderbird when it came out. Like, I mean, it was probably older than when it came out, but like, I was gonna say this Thunderbird commercial from the 1960s starring James Mason. It's fucking great. He doesn't take a sip the entire time.
Yo, I just want to say, I looked up Thunderbird malt. That was my search terms. The number one thing
does it start with a B?
Yeah, it's a website called...
it's on my screen, too. It's literally the first result. Bumwine.com.
I feel vindicated now.
Good. Bumwine.com. Thunderbird. Wait, someone just described... As clicking on the link, I slowly saw, like, pigeon feces... as a descriptor while I was clicking on the link.
So go on. What does it say?
I don't know. I clicked on. Oh,
it says look for the pigeon feces and you'll find this old bird.
Oh, I just, man, I could have gotten in the alcohol.
Well, I know what we're drinking on the next Nerdy Show episode.
The other beverage of
the final episode.
The other beverage of Hungary is a thing called Palenka, which is a fruit brandy, which allegedly comes in different flavors. Though from people I've spoken with, you can't really taste the variance in it at all. And I had that, and that was absolutely awful. Apparently, it's basically moonshine. And
wasn't Palenka that thing where you drop the token and it
bounces
down? About to say,
that's Pachinko.
No, Price is Right. That's Plinko.
Plinketto.
Well, this is Palenka, and it's a brandy from Hungary, and it's terrible. I much prefer Unicum.
So are you saying they don't make any good alcohol over there?
No, because I had some lavender beer brewed by Monks.
Oh, that's right.
And that was, I didn't care for the beer part, but the lavender part was
like,
great.
So that's what the alcohol part. I was just thinking they make any good alcohol. Well, the alcohol
I'll have
is
a lavender
shit.
Beer, hold the beer.
But the alcohol is shit, but the lavender.
I would consent to multiple sips from that, whereas the other things were, I mean, Unicum really was fine. It was not as bad as anyone made it out.
Do you think we're
to
be, pronouncing it wrong?
Unicum?
It's literally spelled U-N-I-C-U-M.
Yeah, no, Unicum.
You think it's like Unicum. No, it's Unicum.
If you have an accent on it, I don't know, but...
Did you drink any of their famous paprika stuff?
I mean, I had a lot of paprika, and it was tip-top. It was so good. I had paprika chicken.
Oh, I know there's paprika alcohol.
Oh, yeah, I brought you some paprika liqueur. Did you?
I haven't opened it yet.
Okay, you haven't cracked that open yet.
So let's if we just cut to the chase, what was the best thing that you ate?
Oh, we're talking about food now. Yeah.
Yeah.
The inevitable food conversation on Nerdy Show. Yes, the best.
I hope it's Welk's.
It's not Welk's. I don't think I had any
sea. What the hell is Welk's?
It's just a horrible, like, sea snail.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I had any seafood while I was there. It's not on the ocean. The best things, the two best things I ate were a hot chocolate in Switzerland.
Eat a hot chocolate? I guess so.
I don't know, man. It was a delicious food. I put food in my body. A hot chocolate from Switzerland and... a paprika chicken dinner with a souffle from a really cute, very fancy Hungarian restaurant in a park.
So the Swiss chocolate thing is like legit. It's not just like, oh, it's a stereotype Swiss and chocolate.
Oh, no, that's legit. Actually,
they're hot chocolate. Like, it's no Swiss miss. It's legit.
Bor requested some milk chocolate. I prefer dark, but Bor requested some milk, and I consented to buy that for him. And you've got some right there. Some Milky Boys.
Yeah, it's actually really good. And I've had Swiss chocolate in the past, and I believe Lindt is Swiss also. So.
And you were nice enough to break me off a little piece.
I've got
Lindt.
Of that Kit Kat bar. Yeah.
And it was very delicious.
Yeah.
Wait, Lindt?
I've got Lindt in my pocket.
Lindt. Yes.
It's like L-Y-N.
Yes. L-I-N-N-D-T.
D-T, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is called Milk Boy. I thought you were making that up. A little Milk Boy. A little Milk Boy chocolate.
Okay, so...
You're so endeared by it now.
I mean...
Made with 100% Milk Boy. Chocolate surfing au lot des Alpes de Suisse. That's how they sound, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, let's go with
Milk
that.
Milk Boy Unicum.
No boys were harmed in the making of this.
Store Milk
Boy. We assure you, they enjoyed it.
Store Milk Boy in a cool, dry place. Oh, man, how many servings are in Milk Boy? It doesn't say. I think it's one Milk Boy.
In America, we call them dairy farmers.
What did you just throw at me?
Oh, shit. An actual Kit Kat.
Yeah. We're still eating food on Nerdy what? Show. We're supposed to not eat food.
I know.
Made with ruby cocoa beans? Wow.
Okay, that's not a real thing.
I can't believe you got these.
That's not real.
These are illegal.
So, wait, boy, you can't believe we got these. Do you know what these are?
Yeah, I know about ruby cocoa. It's like a new formulation of chocolate.
Should I open this?
That... was made only a few years ago for the first time, and it's
what?
Supposed to be really awesome.
Kena, what?
Is this the chocolate that alters your DNA?
No.
Oh, I was hoping it was the ruby.
You've been watching too much Fallen Kingdom.
Were you reading because it's a Kit Kat and it's got crispers in it?
Are we supposed to put these in the oven?
I was like, what the fuck? It's not crispy. Oh, I see.
No, I don't think so. So it says in this package, I got this. These came from Hungary, and I'd never seen them before. And of course, it's a Kit Kat, so I got it because Kit Kats typically make weird bars. Now discover Kit Kat made with natural ruby cacao beans, a new delicious and unique berry flavor experience.
That smell is weird.
It's supposed to be amazing.
The smell is very weird.
And I've wanted to try this for a really long time. So this is really awesome that you got these.
Wait, it said ruby cacao is natural, so that means it's existed in the world. It wasn't like made in a lab.
I feel like there's some sort of story behind it where they just figured out how to make it into a confection recently.
This is very strange.
It tastes like a little bit like crushed bugs with chocolate.
The longer you chew it, the more the flavor comes out.
Well, that's because it's altering the DNA in your taste buds as you chew it.
I guess so, yeah.
This is like what if chocolate but also berry.
Hmm.
Which is a common thing in Hungary, actually, because...
like the sport bar.
Well, yeah, that's true. But they love combining fruits and chocolates. Like, they'll have a combination called forest fruits is a pretty regular thing. They have... there's a dessert that's on the streets in Budapest called the chimney cake, which is basically what if a churro but...
Shoved in a chimney, but turned on, and then
but
smoked.
A thin tube that spirals that you can peel. It, like, spirals around nothingness, and you can fill that nothingness with whatever you want. In some places, shove ice cream in there.
Can you put pepperoni in there?
See, when I first read about Ruby chocolate, I looked into it, and it was extremely expensive for a while.
Hmm. Well, now you can buy it in a Kit Kat bar.
Apparently.
And I realize now what this reminded me of.
What?
It's like when you grab a handful of trail mix that mostly has berries in it, but a couple of chocolate chips.
I thought Ruby chocolate was the new version of Ruby on Rails. That's funny for me.
It's like Ruby on Rails for Android.
Ruby chocolate.
Yeah.
All right, enough eating. Let's talk about politics.
Oh, great.
I'm just kidding. Hey, but does anyone here watch Westworld, or am I alone?
I watch it.
I would watch it, but I haven't watched season two yet because I left the country.
Well, I just watched the finale today of season two.
Haven't watched it yet, but I'm only that episode behind. I would have been watching it right now if we weren't recording.
Is it good?
Here's the thing. I like Westworld.
Didn't say yes, so it's bad.
I like Westworld. The problem is it's a bad robot production. So,
yeah, that's what Westworld's about. The fucking robots.
Okay.
Get with it.
It's a J.J. Abrams
joint.
Joint. And just like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in 2016, who Michael Bay, I guess, produced, mm-hmm. and they said he'll have nothing to do with it,
mm-hmm.
full of shit, is all I'm saying.
Hmm.
There are obvious plot devices that are very similar to Lost, in which they will write something. They make it seem very mysterious, and then you're like, oh, well, how is that going to be later? And it just seems like they write themselves into a hole and just suddenly have to explain it, kind of like Lost.
So you just fell into the JJ trap.
However, in the season finale, which I won't say any spoilers, you know, most things are wrapped up. You're like, oh, that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes sense. Done. Then I feel like JJ Abrams came in and said, no, there needs to be a twist. There needs to be a thing that doesn't make sense. And then after the credits, there's a fucking, like, 3-minute scene that takes all of the logical conclusion of the entire first two seasons and then just makes no sense. It throws out the window and it makes absolutely no sense. It makes no sense. There's no context. It's not a scene where you go, oh my God, that's so cool. Or, oh my God, I'd never thought of that. It's just like, why is that in there? You just destroyed everything you solved in like all these, like it doesn't make sense.
So you're basically describing a Mark Millar comic book.
Basically, J.J. Abrams is a hack, ruins everything, and writes mysterious twists without knowing where it's going.
But you, I assume, have no evidence that J.J. had any direct production hand on...
When you're a producer,
either way,
or your company, you really think he's like, oh, I love this show, I'm going to put my company's money behind it, and I won't influence it at all.
Well, Bad Robot is much bigger than one guy.
So you admit that J.J. made something, didn't know how it was going to end, but yet you're still going to blame Rian Johnson for it. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. But another funny thing that I thought was Bethesda,
yes,
is suing Warner Brothers, and this will be related. Bethesda, and this just happened, is suing Warner Brothers because they blatantly stole Fallout Shelter and made it into a Westworld game. And I'm not, when I say blatantly stole, I mean I have images here that I'll just show you.
Oh no!
You can't see this at home, but it's literally you can build a vault underneath Westworld with different rooms and different upgrades, and the user interface is like, oh, there's a meter at the top that says how happy the people are, and there's
that
an upgrade
such
symbol. And Bethesda's like, hey, this looks familiar. Who made this game? Oh, it's the same people who helped us make Fallout Shelter. Oh, hey, let's look at that code. Hey, there's some proprietary code in there.
Wow.
And they were claiming that, you know, Warner Bros. Was like, oh, it's just a coincidence. And Bethesda was like, there are literally glitches that happened in Fallout Shelter before they fixed them happening in this game because of the same code was, like, copied and pasted. So they're suing Warner Brothers, and they're suing the company
that made the game, which is called...
Those are patented glitches.
I forget. It's called, like, Behavior Interactive, which will not be trusted again with proprietary code.
I didn't even see a screenshot of the Westworld game, so I didn't know what it was about, but damn, that
is,
like...
It looks literally like Fallout Shelter.
Except
there's a top layer where you see the town, and then underneath, it's literally vaults.
But they look like the little Pip-Boys, too.
Yeah, they just changed... slightly the way it looks, but it all interacts in the same symbols and everything.
That shit is fucking shameful, especially because, you know, Bethesda still has a working relationship with that company, but they sure shit don't anymore, I guess. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they might still... It might have just been one or two douchebags. You don't know. Maybe they'll still have
I don't know. But yeah. But that's wild.
But that relates to what I was talking about with Westworld, but also, you know, Westworld's good, but they need to...
Anyone here seen the original movie besides me?
No.
The original movie
With Yul Brynner.
Second movie they made.
Future World? Future World's not as good as Westworld, but it's okay in its own way for different reasons.
I have not seen the original because it looked like garbage.
So you saw Future World, but you didn't see Westworld?
No, I never saw either.
Okay, what to say? I didn't see the original. It's like, wait, so you skipped the good one and then went to the one that...
I saw the TV show.
Is it actually good?
The first movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is,
well,
it is dated.
It was written like... I mean, it was made... Sorry, not written, because it's based off of a novel, but it was made, what, in the 60s? 70s?
Early 70s, I believe. I don't remember the exact date, but it was written... Michael Crichton wrote it, and I believe Michael Crichton directed it.
Oh.
So...
Yeah.
So, did. Michael Crichton, the guy who the guy who wrote Jurassic Park about a theme park where people go to experience an unusual thing, something goes wrong, and those unusual things are now eating the people.
Do you think that's all he knows how to do? I mean, he writes lots of stuff.
If you're a fan of regular Jurassic Park and you're not keen on what Jurassic World is doing, check out the old, Westworld movie. Because that's pretty much
early
Jurassic
dinosaurs.
Park. It was Jurassic Park beta, is what I'm saying, is what it was.
It's got it funny because robots. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It was 1973, by the way, the first Westworld
early
film.
Early 70s. And its sequel, Future World, had nothing to do with any of that shit.
Did they feature Samurai World?
Actually, they show Medieval World.
Samurai World's my favorite thing, and it's only two episodes.
And in Future World, they show a little bit of Samurai World, and they have like some Japanese tourists who are coming in that want to experience Samurai World, and they have to check in like all their cameras and shit.
I really want to see India World.
I don't think
that's Raj World.
Yeah, no, that's a real thing in season two for like a second.
And I haven't watched any of the show Westworld, but I've heard that there are hints, or rather Easter eggs, in the first season of Westworld that suggest that the first movie is canon. The first movie happened.
They allude to a previous
incident
kind
or whatever.
Of incident, and they're kind of. It looks like they're underground in like an old kind of park.
Oh
at some
shit,
point.
That's cool. All right,
you haven't watched it?
No, that's what I'm telling you. I don't have HBO, and I don't have HBO Go.
I don't know how I'm watching it. I guess I must have HBO.
Yeah, because that's the only
someone,
way.
Someone who's linked it to my PS4 has HBO. I guess, and that's what I'm watching on. Yeah. So yeah, cool. Good for me. Yeah.
What else you folks been up to?
Brandon has a streaming elf.
Excuse me?
Yeah, an elf that hooks you up with streaming services and that you're not aware of.
Oh, I mean, probably. Yeah, now that you
more
mention
like a
it.
Gremlin.
Why? I don't pay for Netflix. Oh, wait, I steal yours. I probably owe you lots of money. I don't pay
Is
for
that
Hulu.
How this works?
I have Hulu.
Shit, people owe me a lot of money.
Yeah, I have Hulu. Well, yeah.
I need to cash in.
Is it stealing if you give them your login information?
No.
Hulu, Prime, HBO Go. Yeah, man. I don't pay for none of it. I mean, I pay for it in my heart, but then I get over that shit real fast.
Mm-hmm. So. With the emotional roller coaster you go on.
Oh, man, I can watch all the shows now. What am I doing here? I'm going to go home and watch some anime. Let's watch some anime.
Crunchyroll?
Sugoi! No, I don't have Crunchyroll, actually.
You got access to all the
Are you sure that somebody didn't link it up to your PS4?
You know what? I'm going to fucking gremlin. Check.
Just log in. You never know.
I'm pretty sure you only get good Crunchyroll on that shit app now.
Oh, yeah, whatever
you ever pronounce it.
Plus, what about Ultraviolet?
Plus, Crunchyroll doesn't have good anime. Only shit generic, right? Am I right?
It has everything. It has almost everything.
How many times are going to watch that pirate show with 900 episodes or Burrito, the sequel to Naruto? I don't want to watch that.
What about One Piece?
Yeah, there it is.
I want to watch Burrito.
Oh, wait, let me fucking tell you, Cap. So,
wasn't that a villain on Dragon Ball Z?
I finally watched the end of Naruto, whatever, it ends. Hey, Sasuke, whatever, who gives a fuck? It ends. Peace in the world, done. And then I look, up next, Burrito. Like, what the fuck fuck is Burrito? Burrito is son of Naruto. I was like, fuck you. The show is over. I'm not watching another 700 episodes.
Everybody knows that Burrito is a very powerful being on a good place.
I think he... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I understood that reference.
Oh, I missed that show. There's a teaser for the third season.
Shut your mouth. Where's the teaser for the third season?
You seriously going to ask me where it is? Because I'm going to say the fucking internet. If you ask me. I'm just literally going to say the internet.
Oh, sorry. You have access to everything. Why? Of course. Why would you ever get specific?
Yeah, I mean, just fucking Google this.
Just for everyone who's finger waving, and I know nothing about Naruto, but it's Boruto. Naruto Next Generation.
I know. It just looks like fucking Burrito. Yeah. I'm like, really? I thought this show was over.
But I would watch a show just called Burrito.
Shit, man, I gotta get on that. When's Good Place Season 3 coming out?
I don't know.
This year? Later?
This fall, I hope they delve more into the burrito.
Yeah.
They all get real jobs now or something on Earth? I don't know. It's cool. Anyway.
Well, here's what's up. Okay, so I went to Hungary for a wedding, for a friend's wedding. But in the meantime, Matt Spill was the best man at this wedding from State of the Empire. And we decided, all right, let's travel together. And Matt wanted to go to Switzerland because in Switzerland is Pissgloria, the filming location for On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Isn't that like the second Bond movie or the third?
No, the second is From Russia with Love.
It was the second James Bond.
You guys actually know this?
Yeah, the second person to play James Bond was George Lazenby, and that was his film.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. For some reason, I wanted to say Josh Brolin, but that's not right.
He's in everything these days.
You'd be a great Bond, am I right? 420.
Okay, sure.
Wait, am I messing up my Brolins? Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of that guy who writes pot comedy, not Josh Brolin. Anyway.
I don't get the 420 reference.
Yeah, Seth Rogen sounds like Josh Brolin.
What?
You are drawing the craziest conclusions right now. Anyway.
You just fed me so much chocolate. I'm drunk on ruby chocolate. It's rewriting my DNA.
There was no alcohol in that chocolate.
It's rewriting. My DNA with RNA.
Well,
it's Ruby now.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the lone George Lazenby James Bond film, the beloved James Bond film, filmed mostly in Switzerland. And we went to a ton of filming locations, not just Pissgloria, which is a basically restaurant resort built on top of a mountain, but also a number of the very small towns in the Alps where they filmed a bunch of scenes. And it was crazy. Like, I've never been to Switzerland before.
Is that where they have the James Bond, like, museum? Mm-hmm. Where they filmed it?
Yeah.
So, let me get this straight. They filmed one James Bond movie there, and they're like, oh, shit, turn it into a museum. And they were like, for 40 years, they've been maintaining a James Bond museum.
It has not been around that long as a James Bond museum. But you got to understand what this place, I don't know how they built it. I want to watch some documentaries on how they built it, because I don't understand. It's called the Schilthorn, is what the actual... place is called, and then they named the restaurant that's up there Pissgloria after what it was called in the film. It was a mountaintop and also subterranean base of Bofeld, the head of Spectre.
Do you get to go in the mountain?
Not more than just being in the building, I suppose. There is no subterranean base in there, but
that we know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that
we how would you?
We know. You're right. But the circa 1960s. Gorgeous, bizarre, rotating restaurant that's built on top of this mountain, which is not like an easy to access mountain. It's not like in the range of the Alps. It's not one of the first ones you'd come upon. You have to scale other mountains to then take like cars suspended over cables to other mountains to get there. I don't think they're funiculars. I think funiculars are just ski lifty things, boxes, mm-hmm. to get from mountain to eventually get to Schilthorn, where all this is. And
I don't know. I just looked at the cafe and it said, please use the elevator at the base of the mountain.
That's not accurate.
So I don't know.
You're making things up.
Price range, $2 to $3 signs. I can afford that.
I mean, you technically could call them an elevator, but anyway... it was wild. I've been to mountains before, but I could not ever conceivably have anticipated the experience of the Swiss Alps. It's like being in Halo. Like, because in Halo...
Wait, with HD graphics,
is it because
or regular?
Of
the H-est of Ds.
Okay.
Is it because of, like, there's monk chanting in the background all the time? Or is it because you can see, like, a ring... that goes into the sky.
It's a lot more like you can see a ring that goes into the sky.
Oh, that's what Halo means.
I mean, because, in Halo, this whole weird Alpsy environment is in the curve of this ring. and in all the towns and areas of the Alps, you're in between. It's so, the whole landscape is so very geological.
Damn.
It's all shifting in these ways that you can see a still photo of it, and I've seen many still photos of it throughout my life. It's just a thing.
I'm looking at pictures, and it looks like a weird, tiny, like, prison base or something.
Are you talking about mountain. Pisgloria?
Yeah.
It's the ringed thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it rotates?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the inside, you can sit in there and...
Yeah, we had the James Bond brunch.
Okay, what does that exist or exist of? What does that consist of?
Vodka martinis.
Shaken, not stirred. Did you have a vodka martini there now that you're drinking? Please tell me.
I did not. I had some Prosecco.
You went to the fucking...
Did you say breakfast?
Yeah, James Bond
brunch.
Was
there double OJ?
There was OJ, and I put it in my Prosecco and had the mimosa.
I just went to the top of a mountain for this place and didn't get a fucking vodka martini. You went to the top of a mountain. I'm going to reiterate that.
You made
that
the James
again.
Bond pilgrimage.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a vodka martini.
And they're like, what drink would you like? And you said, I have a spritzer. And they're like, they just look at you with such disdain as like fucking Americans.
The Prosecco came with the brunch. The brunch was already very expensive. Hungary, you can live like a king.
How hungry were you?
In Hungary, you can live like a king off of nothing. It's amazing. All you got to do is get there and you can.
What's the price of poor people?
Everything is. It's a wonderful country where no one. I mean, like. It's complicated, but look, there's...
Did you get the burger that has 007 charred into the top?
I did not. That was not part of the lunch menu, but I would love to have. But anyway, but Switzerland's very expensive. So anyway, I did not... I just got the drinks that came with the brunch is what I'm saying, long story short. But it's cool. There's a James Bond museum. They have lots of like props and storyboards and so on from the film. A lot of making of stuff. The bathroom experience is incredible. There's
the bathroom experience.
Yeah,
in Switzerland.
Does James Bond like come down from the ceiling, say "Beg your pardon, forgot to knock," and punch you out?
Are there two eyes moving in the picture in front of you while you're sitting down taking a dump?
All the stalls are like women's silhouettes at varying degrees of opacity, like
what?
Pressed against stuff. And
I don't want women looking at me when I'm shitting.
There's
any degree of
sound
opacity.
Effects.
Why wouldn't you?
They're like sound effects and like the sound of
sound
like Bofeld hypnotizing the girls.
What?
In the stalls.
Wouldn't you get out of the toilet and be like, I gotta save them? Just mid shit. He's hypnotizing them ladies.
Well, in this case, he'd be hypnotizing you in the bathroom.
Oh, I thought it was the ladies that are staring at you. Okay.
At first, I thought I was like, I'd be interested to see a James Bond themed bathroom, but now I'm kind of scared.
It's amazing. It was incredible.
Well, I'm just going to Google search and see what pops up.
There's
a themed bathroom.
And I mean, like this mountain is like up in the clouds. But what I was saying earlier about the way things are the halo comparison is like we'd be walking through the hills, through all these small towns, and everything would be at different perspectives and angles. You see huge mountains in the background. There'd be like white snow-capped ones in the middle of summer, luscious green ones with waterfalls falling out of it. And it's like if you took a collage, right, of like foreground, mid-ground, background, and all these different layers, and they're all taken from different angles. And you know, it makes one flat picture, but logically you know they're from separate parts.
Right.
Moving through all of this in three-dimensional space was absolutely unreal. It was like everything was coming at you from a different angle. It was like being inside of a dream, but being vividly awake at all times.
Dope.
Yeah, it was fucking great.
Dope, bro. I just found a picture of a bathroom in the center of a room, and at the top it just says,
you mean a tub?
It's a 007, bathtub? Yeah, on the wall with a little champagne next to it, and it's the James Bond Jr. suite.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's a good show.
That's a terrible show. So I guess I'll say this is that we are developing a James Bond podcast for Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network, which I run. I don't know if it's going to be a real thing for sure, but I know that we did record some material that could be featured on it if it does, in fact, become a real thing up there on the mountain.
And if not, it might turn into a microsode, probably.
It could. Yeah, it totally could.
Live from the mountaintop.
I mean, that's the plan. We want to cover
4 months ago
everything James Bond related, not just the films, video games, books, shooting locations.
Who's
the
gonna
works.
Be on the Who's going to be on the podcast?
Well, Matt Spill is going to be as like a principal James Bond scholar is a major figure on that podcast. But beyond that, you know, the less said, the better. We're still assembling this thing.
He's got that Matt is not like an expert on fucking Star Wars, expert on James Bond.
Mm. Well, I mean, those are his two things, his two biggest things.
Relationships. Hope you're not listening to this, Bill.
That's a low blow, Brandon.
Sorry. Look, you just asked what he wasn't good at, and I'm just assuming relationships. And shaving his beard.
Is it because of the expertise in Star Wars? Is that why you're assuming that?
Oh, and growing hair.
Yeah.
He's just great. He play off beard every year, like clockwork.
Well, he grows it down, but he's got to balance it so part of it grows up.
Low blows, Brandon.
You just asked. You guys asked what he wasn't good at.
That's bold talk from a guy who squats on a toilet.
Hey,
and by squats, I mean like a bird squats
my ass
on a toilet.
Looks great because of 35 years of squatting on a toilet.
What, since you were 2 years old, you're squatting on it?
Well, that would have been zero, actually, but I guess when I was four. So 31 years, because I'm an old man.
Has one of them broken yet?
No, but I saw an image online or a video of a lady who fell while squatting on the toilet, and it cut her like ephemeral artery all the way up, and I think she died and bled out right there.
So you gotta stop doing that, bro.
If I'm gonna die, I hope that's the way I go, on the toilet with bleeding out on the floor when someone finds me. I'm just a cold corpse.
No.
They gotta bust in and there's just shit dribbling down my leg.
No.
I want to be found with shit all over me, like I'm rolling in it.
He died as he lived, rolling in feces.
Or if you guys find me dead, I want someone to get feces and throw it all over me.
Well, here's what I'm gonna do. When we have a headstone for you, Brandon, I'm gonna have it be a full-size model of you perched on the headstone.
Oh, that's a good idea. But can you make the headstone a toilet so people don't get the wrong idea? I don't want them to think I'm like a scary gargoyle. You know, you walk through the graveyard and they're like, oh my god, there's a gargoyle perched on that. No, I want them to think, oh, that's just a milk boy pooping in a toilet.
Now, do you want a regular toilet or a German toilet?
I was thinking, well, if we have a German toilet, then there can actually be, like, you know, the gravestone in the movie Toys, where it actually moves and, like, bubbles shoot out?
Yeah.
Like, my statue, every couple hours, like, fake poop could fall out onto the German toilet shelf.
No, you just gotta design it so that when it rains, the rain will, like, hit the top of your head and run down, and it just drips down.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about German toilet shelves.
No.
Well,
but if you could poop anywhere.
All I'll say is that in Germany there's the German toilets are arranged so there's a shelf that your poop sits on. You
can improperly inspect it. Yeah. There should be a notepad next to it.
Before it's flushed away into the water. It does not touch the water until you flush.
It's very efficient, yeah. I suppose.
But if you could poop anywhere in any toilet or none at all, what would it be and where?
I've never been asked such a complicated question before.
The world is your toilet. Where do you go?
I've been asked, do you feel like hurting yourself or others right now several times? And that one's an easy one to answer. I've been asked, what is wrong with you? I've been asked, why you want to hurt your parents? I've never been asked, where do I want
to go? Would you want to go to the top of the Eiffel Tower? Would you want to go to the top of Mount Everest? Or would you want to go down in the Marianas Trench in a submarine?
Mars. First poop on Mars.
I said anywhere in the world. That's outside of Earth.
I would pick a Japanese toilet, personally.
Just any Japanese toilet?
There's so many features.
I think that's the best toilet experience.
The seat's going to be warm. Mm-hmm. It's going to clean your bum hole.
Okay, I got it.
And dry you off.
I disagree. No toilet involved. Here's what we're going to do. So, there are these birds in South America.
All right, okay? I'm already on board.
They look like dragons. They're called Huatsins. They have blue scales on their
face.
What
did you say?
It's weird. It's like Hoatzin. Look it up. They have blue scales on their face, and they have bright red eyes, so they look like dragons. On the ends of their wings, they have something that most other birds don't have. They have claws. They have claws on their wings like dragons.
Like raptors and shit?
Yeah.
Are you going to say you want one of these to pick you up?
No. I'm not done. Okay. We're getting to poop. They have to fly, but they climb up these trees using their claws like bats.
Okay, right.
And then when they get to the top of the tree, they jump off and fly.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is climb a tree with the Huatsin. We'll get in line behind them. When we get to the top of the tree, we're all going to perch together, and I'm going to shit on the rainforest floor.
And you're going to hang glide away.
To my death, yes.
Wingsuit.
I'll be like,
in a wingsuit.
I'm hoping I'll be old and I'll be like, this will be my final shit. And I poop, and maybe when my poop falls, it hits one of the baby Huatsins trying to climb. He's like, meh. And then I jump off, and it's just on like this valley. Valley covered in mist, and I just float down into it like the end of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, because that's relevant. I just float down into it, never to be seen or heard from again. Okay, and that's where I'd probably be.
I don't know how we get to a point where
squatting Brandon hidden shit.
Brandon's ancient and on his deathbed.
Deathbed shit.
Deathbed is doing this, but also Werner Herzog's still alive. But like, so Werner Herzog's still alive, and he's going to film this documentary
Who's
about Brandon.
Werner Hurt Dog. Werner Hot Dog.
Werner Hot Dog. Yeah.
No, seriously, I don't know who that is.
Famous documentarian. Moving on.
If anyone's going to document it, it's going
to
be
making the final climb to take his final shit.
Yeah, you watch Rick and Morty, right?
You know
the speech about how men like their penises on Earth? One of those aliens is like, I have seen the men.
Is that the documentary guy they're making?
Yes.
I don't know anything.
He actually made an appearance in that episode and voiced that entire speech about men's penises.
Why would I choose him over Sir David Attenborough?
Because of that exact reason, because he was on Rick and Morty.
Because Werner Herzog would actually do it.
Well, we're gonna live stream it anyway, so you'll all be able to see it.
Yeah, because the reason is I felt that your whole presentation here evoked something that Werner Herzog would be like, yes, I must document this.
Oh, what? Oh, no, I still like Attenborough's got a good British voice.
I mean, you have a relationship
and
with him.
And in his final moments,
is this a German guy?
He becomes a bird, much like the kind he always admired. Mixing everything he loved, shitting, and flying, and breathing.
You actually got me wondering about wingsuits and how much they lower your terminal velocity. Like, if you could actually save yourself from death
stats.
With that wingsuit.
Depends on the
I know
incline.
You could have more fun on the way down, but I don't know if you would save yourself.
Isn't that the whole point of a wingsuit is you can glide to safety? And land?
Well, it depends on the incline.
I think they usually have a parachute
like
to go with
like
them.
They do, yeah.
Suits?
Well, oh, I really? Think you would probably still be going so fast that if you're, say, in the rainforest and you had to dodge a tree, you wouldn't, and it would shatter you.
Well, it's a metaphor. It's like
yeah, but
I'm...
I've seen that happen to George of the Jungle enough times to know that you'd be fine.
But dude, they have GoPros on guys who go with the wingsuits. They jump off cliffs, and it's probably somewhere in the Alps, and they just go down those long caverns and stuff.
Yeah, well,
and they eventually pull a parachute and they
me jumping,
you know, but they get close to the ground though. It's crazy.
What you don't understand is me jumping off the tree into the valley is a metaphor. I become the turd being shit out by life, and then I smack into the ground like a turd would, and I get smushed. And just like a turd,
that's very Werner Herzog. That's
just
very...
just like a poop.
But who's
in
gonna
my...
flush you off the shelf?
Just like a poop in my own toilet, it'll be eaten by ants within minutes. I don't use water. My toilet's all natural. I open a little gate and tiny ants come in.
And in the end, he was kind because he gave life to the rainforest and never took anything. Life shat him out.
All right, I'm looking this guy up because I've never fucking heard of him before.
You've heard of
Hertz? Is it Herzwig or Herzog?
Herzog.
There's a Hurt. What's Herzwig?
I think it's HERZ.
Did you see Grizzly Man?
It's Herzwig.
The documentary Grizzly Man about Timothy Treadwell.
Who the fuck is Grizzly Man?
Timothy Treadwell.
That
Grizzly
sounds like
Man.
A guy about treadmills. Is this a guy who doesn't shave?
Yeah, actually.
Wait, so Herzog is the yes. Grizzly Man?
No, Werner Herzog's the documentary.
I'm
documentary
seeing a picture
filmmaker.
Of him with a grizzly bear. The grizzly bear's right behind him taking a selfie. I'm not even joking. Look,
the grizzly bear.
I mean, you can't see
selfie.
This at home, but there's literally
that is
a bear
Werner
behind
Herzog.
Him.
That is Werner Herzog, but he's one of his most famous documentaries was a film called Grizzly Man about this guy named Timothy Treadwell who was fascinated with bears, much the same way you're fascinated with birds.
Why have I never heard of this guy or seen anything on the Netflix?
Because you don't have culture, Brandon. All you do is talk about birds and shitting.
My Netflix should have an algorithm that tells me I like documentaries, and if his were on there, it would have recommended them.
He has the one encounters.
But keeps
at
recommending
the end of the world.
Burrito. So,
well, if you're a fan of this documentary, the one that we record sequentially every week here on Nerdy Show, putting together the various pieces of our life and chronicling our ever expanding evolution of psyche and depravity, then hey, maybe you should back us on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdyshow. Support the arts and the farts. Get all kinds of bonus perks in return. Get shout outs on this very show. We want to give a shout out to Dajik Dranoel, who's a new patron.
You're definitely mispronouncing that, I'm sure.
I think that I did as good a job as conceivably possible.
Oh, no, I agree.
Dajik, if you'd like a different shout out with a correct pronunciation, please do write in.
Here's the problem is everyone writes in, but they have these really complicated names they've created. Unless that's their real name.
Well,
then I apologize.
Haven't you ever tried to make a new username and things already been taken?
Yeah, it's like 420, 69, 9/11 never happened. That's like that's like my name.
Or that's your default.
Or like it was an inside job, hashtag liberal cooks. Like that's usually like
always taken.
If I mean now they are, but back when I was using it in like back the '90s on AOL chat names, it wasn't.
Back on ICQ.
When I was playing like fucking EverQuest, it wasn't taken, and then everyone caught on and now the media is using
Jet
it.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams 86.
Oh. on EverQuest, way before it ever happened. That Nostradamus told me. That's how I knew.
Wow. So if you want to back these programs, please do visit us on patreon.com/nerdyshow. Even $1 a month really does make a huge difference. And there's other ways to support as well. You can give us a one-time donation at nerdyshow.com/support or head to Amazon. You shop on Amazon probably. Follow our links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon, and you will in turn give back to the show.
I think the Watson birds live in the Amazon.
What?
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 Now, one way you can help us that involves no money whatsoever is rating and reviewing us on iTunes. That is a huge, huge help. It's a prominent marketplace for podcasts, for people discovering things. The more ratings and reviews we get, the closer we get to being in a position where people will just discover us more. It'll just naturally happen based on their algorithm. So if you haven't had the opportunity to yet, please do head to iTunes and rate and review the show or all of our shows in the network. You can head to nerdyshow.com/spread the word to get more info on how to do that. And there's also Podchaser, which lets you rate and review specific episodes, including like this one. You could give this episode a 5-star rating. You could leave tags for this episode. And you could leave a review like the one that Brandon's about to read. Over here,
what
next to your left hand that you'd forgotten about already? There it is.
I've gotten it from sapphire.wolf. I'm assuming I pronounced the dot, even though it's a period. All right, Sapphire Wolf. I enjoy listening to your podcasts. I've been listening for a couple of years. I like finding out about new books, games, shows, etc., and hearing your opinions. I also enjoy your Dungeons and Doritos podcast. Well, if you've been paying attention, this episode, Sapphire Wolf. I don't like watching Boruto, whatever the fuck that show is.
If you
like
do
5
go on,
minutes, and I was like, nope, done.
Oh, you actually tried it out.
Yeah, it was fucking stupid.
If you
rehash of the entire first series almost.
If you, dear listener, care to rate or review this particular episode on Podchaser, please tag it with Werner Herzog. Somehow. He loves the internet. Somehow he'll find it.
Hey, you know what we never tried to do? And because I'm a marketing genius, you know how people post... things on polls and says like, have you seen this dog? Uh-huh. Why don't we do that and say, have you seen this podcast? And then have the website. We'll just post them in all
no
the
one's seen the podcast, Brandon. You have to hear it.
Shh, they don't care. Just post pictures to say, have you seen this podcast?
It's like, have you heard this painting?
All
I think
town.
Biggest thing needs to be $500 reward, and then you just put a picture of a cat. Put a picture of a cat, and then people will come up and read it, and then you just be like, well, there's not really a $500 reward. And this isn't about a cat. But hey, you should check out this podcast.
If you like this cat.
Have some pull tabs on
I
there.
Think we've got something here.
Yeah.
This is genius.
I was actually going to, and it's supposed to happen someday, Pokeballs of Steelix ever comes back, I was going to create some viral marketing for that. Which was, have you seen me posters for various
Pokemons?
Disturbed Pokemon like Sir Burns-a-Lot and the Commodore, etc.
Is it just going to be their silhouettes? Like, who's that Pokemon?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to come out with balls made out of steel that you attach like as truck nuts.
Truck
and they
nuts,
say
yeah.
Pokeballs of steel. And then they're just truck nuts. You put them on people's cars without them noticing.
Well, I mean, if we're doing that, we're going to sell it as merch. And I'd want it to be RFID's nuts from Skill Watchers.
All right.
Pokeball truck nuts are pretty good.
How has that not been done before? Just even two Pokeballs that just look like truck nuts.
I think we might be onto something.
Because, I mean, nerds love trucks too, right?
Is that the title of this episode? We're always trying to figure out what the title of the episode. Pokeball truck nuts.
I don't drive a truck.
I thought you liked trucks.
Do I look like a truck driving person?
A little bit.
I've got the tiniest little sports car of anybody you know.
You look like you've been driving for 3 days straight.
Sure.
Rough on the trail. You've had no bed to sleep in for a while. You haven't seen your lady.
Hey, I shit on a shelf just like every other person here.
Shit on the curb.
Hey, so where was I in the long story? Right. So, Switzerland. I saw some crazy geological shit there.
Yeah, you already talked about the mountains.
No.
Now we know about that.
I went all up in the mountains.
Said there wasn't underground layers.
You said there was no inside.
Not in the Schilthorn, not in Piss Gloria.
The Shithorn.
But,
Piss Gloria,
Trundhorn and Piss Gloria.
God damn it.
Trundleback Falls.
Yeah. That's okay. Okay.
I'm waiting. It's not getting better.
You're really digging yourself into the hole, your cap.
That's like, really want is Trundleback.
Well, I dug into a deep old trundle.
Did you say trundle or trundle?
Trummel? I can't remember. It's Trummel a long back. Name. Anyway, I saw a waterfall inside of a mountain. Like a glacier up on top, the tippy top of the mountain leaking into the thousands of years, millions of years, I don't know, burrowing into this like caverns within the mountain, and holes had been drilled and viewing stations had been created. And then also like it cracks outside to an actual waterfall out, you know, outside, but you can walk into the mountain and go into one of those weird inner mountain funiculars like in Akira. And
hold on.
Or as I say, it's like looking up, or like where Gandalf fought the Balrog.
Yes, exactly like that. Yes.
Sweet. Guys, I'm looking up the definition of funicular. Sorry. Oh, that's what it is. Got it. Moving on. It's a little trolley thing.
I took some pictures of this thing, but much like the actual landscape of Switzerland, does not do it justice. It's crazy. It's like if you want to commit suicide in a water slide, this is how you do it. You go all the way in as deep as you can. You'll probably like freeze to death immediately, but you'll also be battered against the rocks in the most amazing way possible.
Was it a round device?
It was not a round funicular. Okay. It was a very like,
I already
industrial
forgot the word. Sorry,
funicular.
I was struggling.
I mean, you're watching water twist through rocks at crazy angles and paces. It's
like the end of Goonies?
You know, kind of. I mean, like more extreme, really, but...
Sweet.
Guys, funiculars are really cool. How come we don't have them in Florida?
Well, we don't have mountains.
Oh.
And also, I went to a glacier gorge, like a place that as not so very long ago as the late 1800s was still like a full glacier, like, you know, sliding its way through the crevice of a mountain. Now, all gone, and you can walk through this like basically canyon suspended over these little like bridges, and in some places a spider web of bungee cords that have been stretched across this chasm. And
is the glacier not there because of global warming?
Well, two things. One, warming, yes. But two, which is naturally happening regardless. Not that I'm saying global warming isn't happening, but I'm saying that
it had a bunch of
problems before that. But also that it was being used for ice making.
Oh, like in that movie where they mine ice and sell it in that snow kingdom, and then they make a snowman come to life and sing.
Frosty the Snowman? Is that Frosty the
yeah,
Snowman?
Yeah, I think it was Frosty with Michael Keaton.
You're thinking Jack Frost. I think you were actually talking about Santa versus the Snowman.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
That was it.
They mine ice. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So
or Frozen? They mine ice and Frozen.
I don't know. I haven't seen any of these films.
I don't know what that is.
You ever notice how it sounds like Yentl?
Oh, they just straight up stole that. I mean, Yentl stole it. Anyway,
it isn't the big one, the one that the Elsa sings about. Let it go. Isn't that like really close to the Wicked soundtrack of like Defying Gravity?
Well, I've never seen Frozen, and I've never heard Wicked, so I can't
tell you. That's apparently that's the thing. People are like, you know what?
Well, answer this question anyway,
yeah.
Cap.
Yeah, it's just that it's a lot of
fuck your trip in Switzerland.
The point is, Tangled is better than Frozen. That's the point I'm getting at.
Tangled?
What kind of shampoo does she use? She needs a detangler.
It's magic hair, so you don't need it.
I've never seen Tangled.
It's better than Frozen. I'll say that.
If it's magic,
so.
Why does it get
it's
tangled?
Fine.
It's not... Oh, my God. The tangle's a metaphor. Moving on. Switzerland.
What? That's too much for
Well,
me.
Actually, we're moving to Hungary now.
Oh, shit.
I'm hungry. I've made that joke about four times.
Well, here, Brandon, if you're hungry...
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on. What is it?
Oh, what's he got now? What is it?
I just searched for emojis on my computer.
What is that a sport bar?
Vada. It's Vast. Vast Deferens.
What?
Fakir du Vids.
I don't know what this is, much like the other candy bars. There was a red one and a green one, and it's Hungarian.
Well, let me
explain.
That's
a black one.
There's a description here, and it reads, Chrysocolides alcoholis. Oh shit, it says alcoholis, by the way. Meggie's Kreml, tall tot texture slizz face. There's alcohol in it.
All right, boy, I got to hear your what's your description of this?
Okay. Because I was so accurate last time.
You were dead on.
Okay. Ooh, it's, I mean, I'm pretty sure the
it
word
looks like a sport bar.
Alcoholist.
Oh,
is
we
probably
both we have two different ones.
Oh, wait, what's
okay,
yours?
That's what you meant.
Yeah. There's a red one and a green one.
All right. So I have to take a bite.
Yours is red flavored.
Figure out what the red flavor is.
Yep, this is the flavor of alcohol and nail polish. Someone else eat this. Cap, try it.
I'll try it, sure.
Literally tastes like nail polish here.
Oh, awesome. My favorite.
Boy has a very serious look on his face right now.
My brain hurts from all the sugar we've eaten.
This is like a variation of the last thing that you had me eat.
This is
with
a
alcohol?
More, yeah, this is a more intense
instead
thing.
Instead of it a nougat filling, it's just sort of a cherry cordial flavored goo.
Is there any left of ours?
I ain't going to eat it. No, I'm done.
Oh, none of this? Well, ours is nail polish related.
I want to try the nail polish one. Give me the nail polish.
Brandon's got the last piece.
Just eat that.
Okay.
I have syphilis.
Do you want some more of the cherry cordial?
Yeah, I'll try this. Cherry cordial. It's very cordial.
So,
nail polish, am I right? I think I like the cherry cordial one better. This is good radio. What are you thinking?
Yeah,
it's nail polish. What do you have to think
like,
about?
It's like it's like a butter rum flavor, sort of. Yeah,
your DNA has been altered because that does not taste like butter rum.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Doesn't taste like butt or rump.
Well, I can tell you this: the red one's way better than the green one.
Getting the
there's like
hole.
An there's like yeah there's definitely an alcohol flavor that I think that you caught right away, but
it just tastes like nail polish to me.
If you kind of swish it around in your mouth a little bit, you get kind of like buttery, rummy aftertones.
So someone here will post the links to all these candies you can buy.
No, I will not.
You can buy them on Amazon.
But this this is spelled VADASZ. Vadaz!
Wait.
Vadaz!
So when I flew into Budapest, first thing we did was we rented a car, and we drove out to the countryside, out to the Lake Balaton region.
In your Kreml hole.
Lake Balaton is a rather large lake in Hungary. You can see it if you're looking at a map, you can't miss it, like kind of like Okeechobee in Florida.
Okay.
And the whole region was at some point in time rather volcanic, so at least parts of it. So we were in this area where there were all these crazy weird hills, all of them in strange shapes at the top. And they're what's called witness hills because they, quote unquote, witnessed when glaciers and everything else shaped the rest of the land and were themselves so tall, not mountains, but still so tall that the tops of them were unaltered from the Paleolithic time period.
Whoa.
So
wait, the tops of the mountains?
Of these hills.
Of the hills, yeah.
These hills are so tall that they're not quite mountains.
Do they go into the clouds almost?
No, not like in Switzerland, not like the Alps.
I was going to say, because we've altered the air quality, there's no way that the particles we've altered aren't floating onto those hills. But if they're not reaching the clouds?
Maybe. I mean, there's odd things, like there's things called the basalt organs, which are these like...
Yeah, the basalt organs.
You can't give him anything, look, Cap. You can't give him anything.
Everyone in this room has a basalt organ. Get over it. It's not funny.
And I'm not touching yours for the last time.
Okay. So they're like, you know, the tubes of rock, unusual, strange rock structures up on top of this hill. So I found a couple things that I want to do out in this region because I was like, well, Budapest is cool and all, but I'm going to be there for a whole week. What else does the country have to offer? Oh, there's some cool stuff out in this Lake Balaton region. In a town called Topolsa, there is a cave directly underneath the small town where you can canoe through water-filled lava tubes.
What's a lava tube? I mean, is there actually lava?
It's a tube. It's the tube.
Where
like
lava,
when
it cools. Okay.
Yeah, once it tears its path, it leaves behind this big tube, and that's the lava tube.
What? Yeah, I've never been in caves quite like that before because these caves were, you know, lava created. So this is it's like basically imagine Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right, but for real.
But for real. No animatronics, but a cave.
For real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cave. They've lit the water, like, from underneath. So, like, it's gorgeous blue glacial water. And you get in a tin boat and canoe through it for, like, about 15 minutes. Completely, you know, do whatever you want. Wander through there. There's other people, you know, behind you eventually. But it was super neat.
So there's no, it's like a self-guided tour. There's no one there. You rent a canoe. You go in. Goodbye. Well, the goodbye. Way, maybe you'll come out
the
later.
The way it's actually structured, and this was very disarming. At the airport, everything was fine. Like, there were people who, you know, people were speaking Hungarian, but they could speak English, no problem. Went out in the countryside, and they're... tolerance for speaking English and their aptitude towards it diminished greatly, and so we had a pretty intense culture shock right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was, I mean, if you go in the country and side in any country, I mean, they don't tolerate
it. I should have anticipated it. It was a bit difficult to figure out exactly what was going on. So, like I said, it's directly underneath a small town. So you go into this unassuming building, and it's a geology museum, and they have you go through this whole museum, and then finally they lead you down a staircase where you wander through some caves very briefly. And then get in the boat, and the boat is the, like, crescendo. It's the final piece to the thing. And it was wonderful, so I highly recommend it if anyone is in Hungary somehow.
I heard you got yelled at for asking for change to, like, park, and then it turns out, because you couldn't read the language, that you didn't need to park on that day anyway.
That's true. That is the thing that happened.
It's a fun story.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks for telling, Brandon. Telling it so entertainingly.
I'm very descriptive, so I thought I would tell it best.
But I got an Airbnb out there, and this is the first time I've actually done Airbnb. I tried to do it at San Diego Comic Con, but it always would fall through. It's kind of difficult time and place for doing that to begin with. This place is like a poster child for what a successful, dazzling, and unexpected Airbnb experience should be. It was a little house on a national park at the foot of one of these witness hills that's completely solar powered on a vineyard with fruit bearing trees all over it.
This is an Airbnb?
Yeah.
Do they like create it to be an Airbnb? Like, we're gonna have the best Airbnb
I think it's a woman's house for part of the year, and then she rents it out to Airbnb people the other part of the year. It was so freaking cute. You can go on my Instagram, you can see all this stuff. It was amazing. It was like absolutely magical the whole time, the whole place, everything. And the hill that it was on, we walked up it. There were castle ruins on top of a castle that had been many times sieged by the Turks. You get up to the top and you see this whole vista of the lake and all these freaky witness hills and everything. It was just magical. Highly recommend going out there and doing that kind of thing.
Did you go on any ghost tours at night? Goo-goo-goo ghost tours? They have ghosts. I'm assuming everywhere where there's death, there are ghosts.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I'm
ghost
sure
tours
they have
in
ghosts.
Europe, probably.
Yeah, I did. You know, I didn't see any advertised. I'm sure they could, but I think they might have a different relationship, a little bit more respectful relationship than, say, St. Augustine.
Look, there's ghosts here. Everyone come pay money and
some shit happened there, you know.
Well, here's what happens. Let me fill you in on the kind of historical experiences that you can have in Budapest. You can go to the House of Terror, which is a building.
That sounds better than a ghost like tour.
Let me tell you what it is. The House of Terror was the basically the embassy for the Nazi Party in Hungary.
Okay.
There's definitely ghosts there.
It was because Hungary was an Axis ally, and they
can't believe you just supported their economy, but go on.
That was a long time ago.
Some things
never changed.
And then after they were an Axis ally, they were then taken over by the USSR and only got free from that yoke in 1989. So as of next year, it'll only have been 30 years that Hungary has been a free country.
I'm older than that. I've been free longer than Hungary.
Yeah. So imagine, if you will, the turmoil this country's gone through, and it's the things that they're going through sociopolitically are rather difficult and
extreme
and beyond anything that we can even begin to understand here in America.
Mm. Well, on an upside, I just learned that bar we have, Vedas or whatever, it means hunter.
Oh, that's fun.
So you got sport and hunter.
That's, well, hey, speaking of words, Boar, I saw your name everywhere in Hungary.
What? Why?
You're famous over there. There's your picture, too.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Like Mr. Sparkle.
Everywhere I was, it said Boar everywhere.
Well, I am a pop singer in Germany, but didn't have anything to do with that, or
I don't,
what?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
You said, wait, this was in Hungary?
Yeah.
I wonder what that means. Does it mean, like, is it an alcoholic drink? Or, like, does it mean toilet over there? Like, the boar is over there. Well, I'm going to go sit on the boar and take a shit.
No, it's actually something
like, name for the shelf inside the
Yeah, it's the boar.
Toilet. Or some, it's like toilet. I don't know how it's pronounced exactly, but it's a weird
toilet.
You can recognize
toilet
it.
Thing. Yeah. And then of course, like in most,
but that's not what boar means.
No, it's not what boar means.
Well, do we know what boar means?
I do, but I'm kind of waiting for you to look it up at this point.
It could be derived from the Anglo-Saxon word burr.
No, it means wine.
Lowest class.
It's wine.
I found another one that says Norfolk boy, but.
Yeah. You're just looking at the meaning of boar, not what boar is in Hungarian.
I swear I searched Hungarian. You're probably right about that.
Anyway.
Ooh,
I don't even like wine.
It's fine.
All of it or just fine wine?
Wine, an alcoholic beverage.
I find that I like cheaper
is that
wine
a brand
much more
of
than
wine?
Fine wine.
Or is that like one of those types
then
of wine?
Then you're going to love Thunderbird.
it means wine. Yeah.
Where was I? Right, Terror House. So then the Terror House became the seat of the communist group that basically enforced shit, and that's where they in the basements they tortured and imprisoned people.
Perfect place to make a James Bond.
It sounds
movie,
like a good
it?
Place to vacation too.
when the Hungarians had their student uprising in the 1950s, that's where they imprisoned, tortured, and killed a number of people in there. Young people who wanted to revolt. And then also there's the place called the Hospital in the Mound, in what's it called? There's a subterranean hospital. It's underneath this hill atop which is Buddha Castle. And it is it was a hospital that was basically just built into the earth, meant to be an auxiliary sort of thing that would be bomb-proof, mm-hmm. you know, to a degree. During World War II.
Sure.
And they would get most of their supplies from another nearby hospital. So they do that, and then it gets shut down and then reopened again, helping out the revolutionaries during the revolution, which only lasted about 100 days. And then the Soviets turn it into a top-secret nuclear fallout shelter. So there's a museum now where you can tour all of the rooms that were used as a hospital with all the original equipment in there. It was actually weirdly, it turns out that the feature film version of Evita starring Madonna was filmed in Hungary instead of Argentina.
Wait, what? Okay.
And they used this hospital and this weird old hospital equipment in that film.
Hmm.
And you can also tour the nuclear bunker portion of it. And this is all very cool and historically interesting, but is also, as they tie in the history of Hungary and the revolution and all the people who were sick and died in this place, and then as they go into the nuclear bunker portion, all the horrors of nuclear warfare, including many artifacts from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it becomes the most sobering and disturbing museum experience I've ever had.
Do they actually have people like on display down there?
I mean, do you see photographs of victims of the nuclear holocaust in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? So, I highly recommend it. I think it's a very important thing to come face-to-face with that, especially as Americans. And but what I'm saying here is that the history of Hungary is something that we can only strive to relate to and offer understanding towards, and it's very culturally different there in a lot of important ways. All that said, at the same time, Budapest is a very modern and metropolitan city, which is and it's a lot of fun to be there. There are these bars called the Ruin Bars, where the these old dilapidated buildings were like restored into these bizarre hybrid bars. They're like something from a cyberpunk movie. They're like all these disparate pieces that are put back together in unusual ways.
Hmm.
Cyberpunk movies have that? Shouldn't there be like Ethernet ports or something in the wall?
I mean, it's not there, but there's like installations of like light up buttons and all kinds of things. It's again hard to describe. This is like, imagine if you will, a building with like the roof blown out and a bunch of rooms sawed in half, and yet it's all been connected together into this one big like courtyard of different places, and
that's from all the bombings and shit that's happened.
Well,
there.
Very possibly. I mean, like at one point, during the war, they lost 20% of the city The Germans blew out all the bridges to make sure that the Soviets would have a harder time getting across, like, the water, because the cities separated in two sections, Buda and Pest. They were two separate cities that merged into one mega city.
What? And then they named it Budapest?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's neat.
There's the Richard Iowati television series, Travel Man, which is very good and wonderful. You can watch all of it on YouTube if you haven't seen it. There's an episode about Budapest that has this very ruined bar that I'm mentioning right now. And a lot of other things that I went to. I touched a horse's statue that you touch the horse's balls and you get good luck.
I was wondering why there's a picture of you touching the balls. I thought,
well, I would have done it anyway, but
that's disrespectful to their culture.
But then luck.
But then you're telling me, no, that is what you do. You're respecting the culture by touching the horses, wang janglers.
Those balls were bright gold from being touched. I'm just saying. there's a child railroad. There's a railroad operated by children, which was a Soviet program for teaching teamwork and civic duty.
I really like that you're like, there's this entire railway line operated by children, and totally the Russians were like, yeah, they're learning teamwork. We're not using them for like child labor.
No, they really were, because it's out of the way. It's up on top of one of the tallest hills, or like the tallest hill in Budapest.
Well, that's where I'd put children. And I don't want to deal
in this
with.
In this forested region. I mean, like, it is truly like, it can get you kind of around, but it gets you around an area that is not of particular relevance.
So how old do you say, like 20s, teens, like, well, like really young?
Like 10 to 16 or earlier.
Did you, when you were on the train, did you pretend that like all the people running it just had like Benjamin Button disease?
Well, it was hard because they didn't really speak English. They were children.
More of like, it's that one of the sci-fi scenarios where people over the age of
die and they're
all
that's
dead,
left, they're
and you're like,
the
you're the oldest
town.
Person on earth, and he's, they're like, oh, the old one.
He's like, oh, he has to just go see the elder, and it's just like 13-year-old. He's like, I'm the oldest here. It's a great thing, by the way. Thank you.
Anyway, highly unusual shit. Oh, and I forgot, there was something that I really should bring up. In Switzerland. We were wandering through this place called Grindelwald, which is one of the Christmas villages. That's like, that's kind of a nickname for a village in the Alps. That's
where,
like,
do they live the rest of the year?
Super picturesque during
the
holiday time.
You don't want to stay in the Florida version of a Christmas village.
Well, that's Christmas, Florida.
Christmas. Yeah, you don't want to go to Christmas, Florida.
All right, that's just a matte painting. That can't be Grindelwald. That looks too good. I'm going to show you a picture because no one at home can see it. Is that what Grindelwald looks like?
That is exactly what Grindelwald looks like.
Fuck you. That's like Lord of the Rings looking shit.
Yeah, that's reality. That's what the Swiss Alps are. It's unreal. So they have these weird shapes.
They come to Florida and they're like, what the fuck is this swamp shit? There's no beauty here.
Swamp and then pavement.
There's no mountains.
Like, that's it.
Where's the sky?
Oh, where's the sky? Florida's all sky. That's one of our greatest exports.
Not when it's just constantly raining for 12 weeks in a row. It's still 100 degrees. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, in Switzerland, there's these really unusual shaped bells they use for like their livestock. And I'd been seeing them in tourist stations and so on. And then one day, walking through Grindelwald, I see these people walking down the streets with huge, huge bells. I'm talking about bells as big as like, just like your arm span in a circle.
Holy shit, I'm looking at him, yeah.
Like Flava Flav?
That's gotta hurt the cow's neck.
Bigger.
Bigger than like a Flava Flav clock?
Yeah, way bigger.
Holy shit.
As big as your abdomen.
And they put these on the poor cows?
And no, they don't. I didn't know what. I was like, what are they for? And then, as we were walking back from dinner, we heard some sounds coming out from a park and went to this big tent where they were having this like open folk festival. And lo and behold, there are people with these huge bells. They're ready to play, and we're like, oh my god, so excited. What are these crazy bells going to sound like? And it sounded terrible. it was just like the loudest like clanging. It's like, you know, you take something like pretty and small and it sounds beautiful, and you make it big and it gets deeper.
Are there names for this type of music playing so I can Google it and see how terrible
it is? I wouldn't call
it
music per se. It was like, and what's weird is they kind of wander around a processional just clanging, like, clang, 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 clang.
Was it like, gotta get the bad spirits out? You know, or was it
we're waiting for like, okay, so they're warming up. They're doing a processional. They're getting on stage.
And warming up.
It just went on for like 3 days and it never ended.
That's all it was. Wow. They did it. It was there was nothing else. There was no other attempt at anything.
Maybe they were trying to call the milk boy.
They were not synchronized in any way. Everybody was just randomly hitting them at different tempos.
Yeah, they were just trying to call the milk boy.
Yeah, that's
how they get rid of tourists.
You found the pictures, Brandon. Congratulations. Yeah,
they just walk around like, all right, tourists, go home. Bong, bong, bong. Yeah.
I like that. They need to be careful though, because if you play bells a certain way, you can summon the dead. So they really need to chill that shit out.
In Budapest, we also went to a place called Memento Park, which was a Soviet statue depository place that they built to like remember the Soviet occupation in like a way that's, you know.
Was this Hungary or Switzerland?
Hungary. Okay. Not fondly. They did not remember it fondly.
So it's like what we should do with Confederate statues?
Yeah, you put them in a park and you're like, this is the history of why these horrible things were built in the 1950s. Why did that happen?
But I like to put Confederate statues in front of the neighborhoods that were probably oppressed most by Confederates. That's what I would do in America.
You don't want to forget that history.
No, every time you walk by, you need to remember your place.
Oh God. That ain't staying in.
That was me being sarcastic. It's okay.
And this statue park is actually often mistaken as a filming location for GoldenEye because it was a inspiration for the statue park sequence in GoldenEye.
Was that with the one where they drove around it with a tank and then destroyed it?
Well, that was the streets of Moscow in theory.
Oh, okay, now I remember. Yeah,
but this is where like
he gets trapped in the helicopter.
006 reveals himself.
Yeah,
I only remember scenes from the N64 game, so I'm having a real hard time. Well,
Statue Park was a level in the N64 game.
It was really hard to see with that draw distance back then, but I vaguely remember it.
So that was super cool. There was a little like bunker you could sort of go into that was it used to be a podium that Stalin would speak from when he'd visit. And
could you stand by the podium where like where Stalin stood?
You could stand up on there. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that look like mist or Riven puzzles. That's
is that
cool.
Like the opposite of touching the horse's balls, where it's like bad luck that you stood there?
Maybe. But then you could go inside
Stalin's
of it.
Ghost chases
and
you home.
It's got this big like weird brutalist interior in there, and we played a. It was like Facility, the multiplayer level in GoldenEye. We played Slappers only.
Just walk around, slap, slap.
You didn't put like 30 proximity mines on one spot, so they make like a 10-foot long pole that someone runs into.
1v1 me, bro.
Not for lack of trying.
I'll slap your shit.
We also went to a joint called the Flipper Museum, which is the largest pinball museum in Europe. It was fucking incredible.
I was wondering why you were going to a dolphin-themed museum and there were pinball machines in there, but now I understand what flipper means.
It might be what they call them in Hungary. I'm not really sure.
Flippers?
They had all kinds of weird shit. I mean, have you ever played a pinball game where all of a sudden you do something really good and then the ball disappears and a section of the board that was formerly dark lights up and you realize that it's a compartment underneath the pinball board and you're suddenly playing a micro game of pinball in reverse?
That's not right.
I have actually seen one like that.
Well, I'd never seen it, and they had multiple ones that did that, and it blew my fucking mind. There's also one called Bonsai. What's that car movie with the racing from the 1970s?
Cars. Herbie the Love Bug.
Cannonball Run. Bonsai okay. Run. It was called Bonsai Run, and it was about motocross. But like, it has like the vague story hinted at by this pinball game is that there's a motocross competition at the base of Mount Fuji. So, which I think is
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a great premise for a movie. We should totally do it. And so there's these four motocross racers. There's Big Red, Yellow Belly, the Green Machine, and some blue dude. I forget his name.
Some blue dude.
So the board is a normal board. You do all these different things that like sort of gives the implication that you're gaining place in the race. Mm-hmm. But you can do this thing where the backboard, where it usually has the score, it still has the score, but that stuff is compartmentalized and smaller because most of the backboard for this pinball machine, your ball gets sucked up by a magnet, taken up an elevator, and goes into a vertical pinball game where it's like a meta game where you're like in the race even more and you got to flip your ball up to these different sections. All of a sudden your flippers, which are working in the normal space before, start working on this upper board completely separate.
Are these like newer games?
Old, ancient,
with just little gears and levers and pulleys.
They had legit ancient pinball games. I'm talking about like the 1920s or 30s or something.
You pull a rope and then a ball falls out of a wooden tube.
Where, you know, in our day and age, all we have to do is you put a coin in the slot, you pull back the plunger, and then the ball goes. And this one, you actually have a separate plunger that you have to arm the balls to pop them into
arm
place.
The
the balls are there. So you put a little musket powder in and you swab it. Well, it's like that. You pull another thing, the ball pops into place, and then you can hit the ball to get it out in the machine.
Huh. We don't have patience for that here.
These are old. This is history. This is
it's a museum.
This is gaming history.
I mean, you can play them all. It's an arcade.
It is. You pay one fee and you can be there all night if you wanted to.
Sounds awesome.
It's amazing.
I mean, how long can you play pinball before you go, I'm sick of pinball?
I could have been there all night. It was like there's
but just one night.
There was a game called Orbital One. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It defies all laws of pinball. They have some kind of thing set up in there with a series of like what appears to be oscillating magnets. So your ball goes in there and starts orbiting around the bumpers.
What?
Like it'll hit the bumpers. Right. It'll orbit around the bumpers.
I'm looking up pinball law right now.
It'll go into like it'll catch the orbit of another bumper. It's like Mario Galaxy, but pinball. And the flippers are not, you know, attached to a wall where they'll, you know, where, so you're, there's a hole between the flippers where the ball will, you know, mm-hmm. go and you'll be out, but there's no walls around them. So if the ball, say, slides to the right of a flipper, it'll then slide around the flipper and there'll be an orbit around the flipper. And if you move the flipper up, you press the button and the flipper goes up, you could make it so the ball does not bounce back into the hole and go out. The ball can orbit around the flippers.
Because it's all magnetized and shit?
Yeah, so it has this like kinetic orbit moving around.
Sounds crazy.
The space. It was nuts. Now, the one flaw with the game is that the things you actually do to get points...
You can't have a pacemaker and play the game. that's a big flaw. I found out the hard way.
Like, you gotta hit things on the walls, and really, it's like that's extremely challenging. It's not designed to get points in a conventional way because mm-hmm. it has to behave in this the way to make the novelty work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there are things they could have done to rectify it. I'm sure this is probably the only time anyone ever did this before, but it was, man, I'd never seen it like it. It was tons of fun. It was great to like to play it, to be like, what the fuck is happening? This is breaking my brain. I don't understand it. Then eventually figuring it out, getting a rhythm for it and playing it to the point that I thought that, you know, maybe if I can spend a little bit more time on it, I could actually start to get a good score.
Man, to leave your name in a pinball machine at the pinball museum is fucking boss. Let me get that top score. All right, later.
You don't think they just reset that shit like every year or month?
I don't know.
Oh man, they better not, because if you go into a museum and you put your name in that machine,
I actually don't think they could reset it without going into the hardware inside and fucking.
I mean, you'd earn that shit. You earn a place in the museum.
There were Italian and Spanish pinball games like from the 70s that I'd never seen before. There was one Italian one called Sexy Girls.
I'm about to say, tell me they were sexist. Tell me they were misogynistic.
There were boobs all over this cabinet.
That's terrible.
You know, it's exactly what you'd expect. It's the kind of arcade cabinet you would expect to find in a disco.
Yeah.
So there and there was one really old one called like Tiny Dancer or something like that, like one of the very old ones. There was actually a Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy official pinball machine.
Well, what the fucking figures? All right.
Next to a Bally cabinet that was an unofficial Tommy cabinet. There was an official Tommy cabinet based on the Tommy movie adaptation, but there was one that was like clearly...
Just based on the song before?
It was loosely based on... It was called like Tommy and had iconography somewhat relating to the idea of the concept record,
right,
but not actually saying The Who or like it was called Pinball Wizard or something, but like, yeah, you know, it was weird.
They have a Bowie pinball machine?
No, they did not.
Oh.
Did I don't guys, know there ever was one.
Do you guys know that pinball was outlawed in the 40s in America and was a horrible horrible crime to have one? So they confiscated so many pinballs that they could make several 2,000-pound aerial bombs. This is right before or around World War II, so they used them to make aerial bombs.
That's probably why they said, all right, everyone, tear apart your pinball machines.
Yeah.
Gotta use that metal.
Wow.
It took several decades before we learned to love pinball again.
That's crazy.
And use our sense of smell to play.
Anyway, the Tiny Dancer one was one of the very old ones, and there's like a little like dancer ballerina figure inside of this like kind of mirrored interior in the backboard mm-hmm. of the machine, and when you do something good, it'll start spinning, which will inevitably distract you.
Yeah.
Where I was going with that was, is there a Tommy pinball game? That's why I was asking if you had used your sense of smell.
Cap just told us about that.
Oh.
Like, you were not listening.
No, I was reading history of pinball.
Cap told us not only that there was an official Tommy one, there was an unofficial Tommy one.
What's the unofficial one like? Describe it again.
Cap, describe the whole thing! Listen to the episode!
And again,
like, I'm reading about
it.
Pearl Harbor now and having to do with pinballs somehow.
Head to my Instagram, I have two separate archives of amazing pinball art and so on. So I've talked on long enough. It's actually kind of a long running episode, and I don't. Has anyone have anything? Oh, I'm sorry. I talked so much.
What? It's been like a while.
That was a crazy adventure.
It was a crazy adventure. That's not even all of it.
Pinballs were used to make the bomb they dropped in Nagasaki. I'm not even joking.
Well, that's unfortunate. On that morose note, you know, we haven't closed the song, but I'd like to close the song today. Kind of a song. It's some audio of a video that I took while at that folk festival with the bells.
Oh. Not, you have sound of it? I'm not, so
no,
excited.
Not of the bells. That was fuck. I was so bewildered by that I didn't think to get out my phone. What I did take though,
bells.
It this is the final thing that closed it out, and this really warmed my heart. It was like a scene from my favorite movie, True Stories, where there's a small town celebrating the special talents of everyone there, and they do all kinds of bizarre stuff, like two guys talk really fast because they're auctioneers at like a cattle auction, while a guy yodels and spins a lasso. It was like that. And in this case, it was a man playing accordion, two people standing beside him, like doing wordless vocals of a kind, and their instrument was a Swiss franc coin spinning around in a ceramic bowl. So what you're going to hear is two people spinning a coin. And this is like, well, now we have something for you, very unusual, except in a Swiss accent.
Yeah.
These two people, Marty and Josephine, are going to spin a single franc coin in a bowl, and we hope you enjoy it. It's very unusual. We hope you enjoy it.
It's like the kind of shit they'd put on like the Sullivan Show between the acts of the Beatles.
Yeah.
And this is modern. This happened
at a folk festival. Yeah. I was, it warmed my heart so much. It's very, for me, this is sublime. So
it's probably better than sublime.
Here's the sound of two people rolling a Swiss franc coin around in two ceramic bowls while offering up some vocals and a man plays an accordion.
They didn't think they were gonna hear that when they
gonna follow that shit on Spotify.
Yeah. Download the whole track.